It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, December 29th. I'm Patricia Naft. It's estimated 7.8 million people will live in Colorado by the year 2040. And a Rocky Mountain PBS iNews analysis of data from the state demographer and the U.S. Census Bureau predicts 7 of the 10 fastest-growing counties will be on the western slope. KVNF's Laura Pomisano looks at how communities in this part of the state are preparing for that growth.
Michelle Haynes is the executive director of the Region 10 League for Economic Assistance and Planning. The organization is made up of local governments and tackles regional issues in 6 counties on the western slope. Haynes says she's not surprised by the data forecasting growth for this part of the state.
There's quite a few people that do live in our communities that have moved from larger cities. And I think they'll often tell you they moved for quality of life, for the rural lifestyle. We're fortunate to live in a very beautiful part of our state.
According to the numbers, Montrose County could see its population increase by more than 30,000 people over the next 25 years, making it the 7th fastest growing county in Colorado. Delta County comes in 11th place with its population jumping by 70% to more than 52,000. Communities across the region like Ouray, San Miguel, and Hinsdale County are also predicted to see gains. Delta County Administrator Robbie LaValle wants to see more people move here. She says in recent years, the county has seen its population decline as coal mines in the area scale back production and lay off hundreds of workers.
I would welcome individuals that want to come here and certainly add to our quality of life, our economic base.
LaValle says more people equals more tax revenue, and that's a good thing. However, that means the county will need to invest in additional infrastructure like public safety and roads, a costly endeavor for a cash-strapped community. Trish Thibodeau with Delta County Economic Development says getting high-speed internet to the area is essential for expansion.
This is what I tell people. It is like running water. It is like electricity. It is a basic necessity and becoming more and more and more of a basic necessity for businesses, for individuals to be able to conduct their business as they need to.
Thibodeau says some companies that wanted to move to Delta County didn't because of the slow internet.
We've had people who have come over from the Front Range expecting to move their businesses, bought a house, and had to move back to the Front Range, and so now their house is a second home.
However, a regional effort is underway to improve area broadband, and Thibodeau hopes that will encourage more companies to relocate. The Western Slope could also see unique challenges based on demographics. Michelle Haynes with Region 10 says communities need to prepare for a growing populace. One of the focuses of her agency is aging.
I do think that a lot of this growth will be some of our older population. Delta and Montrose both have been desirable retirement communities for some time.
State figures back that up. The Colorado Demography Office estimates between the year 2010 and 2030, the number of people in Colorado over 65 will increase 125% to 1.3 million. But the demographer says that rise will come from people already living here who will be reaching retirement age.
But we do need to plan for the long term to make sure we have facilities, amenities, and services in place for an older population.
It's also estimated 2.3 million people will move to Colorado by 2040. Haynes says that figure might seem overwhelming, but it's important to remember they won't all come at once.
So when you think about it as adding a few thousand people a year or maybe every 4 or 5 years, I think that's a little easier to think about how they would assimilate into our communities and into our counties, and gives us time to plan for that growth.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
A Western Slope town found that conserving water and trying hard not to stress the environment has paid off big time. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
The town of Lake City is celebrating a present from the state government. It has to do with how the town's drinking water is classified. That may sound dull, but for a lot of people in Lake City, it was very exciting.
It was complete elation. I couldn't believe it was happening. It was definitely the best Christmas present I've gotten in a long time. I was just ecstatic.
That's Greg Levine, the town's public works director. He's been working for months to get the town reclassified. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment labeled the town's water as under the influence of surface water. That's opposed to just using groundwater. Surface water carries more contaminants, so when Lake City was labeled that, it also came with the looming need for a new water treatment method.
It would have been an incredible burden on our little teeny town, and we would have been in a horrible position.
The main way they changed their classification was by changing the amount of water they were using. The city changed to a metered structure where residents were charged by how much they use. They also addressed the numerous leaks that they had in their infrastructure.
So the only way we could do that, reduce the pumping rate, is by fixing at least 50% of our leakage. And I think I got to about 70% of our leakage repaired. I mean, at times we ran two wells 24 hours a day to keep up with our pumping rate, which is really keeping up with our leakage.
By plugging the leaks, saving water, they were able to reduce their intake dramatically and filter the water more effectively. Levine's test showed that the water was okay, and the town saved an immense amount of time and money. He also credits the effort that the state health department made in helping the town rectify their water. This is the first case in the state where, by conserving water, they were able to get reclassified. Ron Falco is with CDPHE. He says options are always on the table, but Lake City might be unique.
We're always open to evaluating a site-specific situation if there are changes that are made that would show that improvement in water quality. It's probably unlikely to find the exact set of circumstances that occurred in Lake City to be happening elsewhere, but it is possible, and we're open to that kind of consideration.
With the cost of overhauling water treatment, many towns across the state might be looking at this as a possible different way to save money. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Issues around women's health, abortion, and contraception are shaping up to be hotly debated topics during the state's upcoming legislative session, which begins in January. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
Planned Parenthood said it wants to push legislation to expand contraception coverage for women and perhaps allow enhanced charges in cases such as the November shooting at the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. Meanwhile, Republican Senate President Bill Cadman says he's considering introducing a fetal homicide bill again. A similar proposal failed last session.
I thought it was the most reasonable proposal on protecting the rights and the lives of women that are expecting to give birth.
The measure would have defined a person as an unborn human being from conception until birth for the purposes of homicide and assault cases. Democrats defeated it in the House, and with split chambers, it's unlikely any controversial measure will gain much traction. I'm Benta Berklin at the state capitol.
The recent snowfall and cold snap on the western slope hasn't set any weather records, but it's an abrupt change from last year.
Last year, quite a bit warmer. Our high was around 30 and our low was 13, so still not super warm, but definitely a lot warmer than minus 5.
That's National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Lyons. He says that the harsh cold is in part created by the snow cover, and that as long as there's snow on the ground, the bitter cold is here to stay. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.